Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Alan, welcome in, and hope you're okay.
Yeah, Don, how are you doing?
Very well, Alan. You heard me. I thank you for agreeing to come on. So who do you blame for this, the carjacking and your trouble in which your life for a few seconds was imperiled?
Well, I mean, obviously the carjacker.
Okay.
But, you know, I think on a political basis, I guess Kenny, for being so feckless and, you know, having this attitude about what do you want me to do?
Okay.
I mean, it seems. You know, I was the controller. We talked about police issues all the time. It seemed to me that often they were driven by budgetary considerations about what's the cheapest way to do things. And now it's a situation has been created whereby the city is overwhelmed by this kind of behavior. And you can't allow that to go out of control. It's kind of what they used to call the broken windows syndrome. Once it becomes obvious that you cannot maintain, you can't maintain order, then it breaks out all over.
Well, look, Alan, I wanted to say that's progress. You know, Kenny is feckless, is checking out, and his police commissioner is also. But isn't the greater person here, or at least on an equal level, and can you tell us, did Democrats ever say, yeah, it's Krasner and his policies?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, it's a continuum. I think when we look at the mayoral candidates, though, a lot of people are afraid to say that. You watch most of these candidates and they're trying to be balanced in their comments on the crime issue because they don't want to offend people who don't believe in deterrence. So
Alan, for listeners who didn't hear what we were talking about, you know, I'm on my wife all the time about this. It's kind of a blaming the victim thing. She likes to talk on the phone for a minute or two before she comes in the house in our driveway or out front. You were doing that after a policy meeting. Suddenly a guy bangs on your window and you see a gun pointed at you where you could have been shot through that window. Alan, without giving away exactly where you live, Northeast Philadelphia, would you say your area is still pretty safe?
No, as a matter of fact, we were at the Northeast Detectives last night, and they said in the last few weeks, within four blocks of my area, there had been a large number of carjackings. So it seems to be like the burglary phenomenon. It seems like they work through specific neighborhoods during a certain time period.
Well, it seems to me, too, that they're going to, you know, middle-class neighborhoods where people have a vehicle, et cetera, and maybe feel relatively safe. I mean, it's a tragedy what's happened in Mayfair, for example. But I think it's coming farther up the Roosevelt Boulevard. So
I just have a feeling this guy might have lived in the apartments across the street because how did he get here?
Right.
Did he take a bus to come do this? I just, you know, he was relatively calm and he was pretty determined to what he wanted. And I don't have any facts to base it on, but I have the feeling that he needed to get out of the area quickly or he came out. I think he was local.
Alan, which moment, too, when they tell you to, you know, on the window and all that, you get out and you have to lie down on the ground. I know you had some smaller injuries, but were you thinking this guy might shoot me once he makes me get on the ground?
Oh, absolutely. That's of course, he was hovering behind me.
Oh, my God.
So I thought that was actually the most concerning time. I mean, first, I had a hard time registering with me what was happening. He was banging on the window somehow. I thought he was going to tell me I needed to move the car or he wanted some kind of handout or something. And then I noticed the ski mask and then the gun. And he was saying, get the F out of here or I'll kill you right now.
Wow.
And it was like, didn't really register right away. And then I got out and I thought, maybe I'd give him some money or my wallet or something, and he was like, "Get out of here and give me the keys and get in the ground." He seemed like he was a pro at this. I had never been carjacked before. I had the impression he had carjacked before, and part of that was calming because he wasn't strung out on drugs or anything, and he seemed to know what he wanted. And I thought, well, maybe that'll end up without me getting killed.
Alan, is there an epiphany moment here, though, or maybe not? When I've talked with you before, you were kind of out of sync with some of these progressive policies when it comes to crime, et cetera. Is there anything that's changed in your mind? Are you more frightened now or something like that, do you think?
No, unfortunately, it's almost like exactly what I expected would happen because of the trend of ways are going in city politics. It's like inevitable that if it's easy to get away with things and if there's a philosophy that nobody's really responsible for anything and save the criminal soul at all costs, that you're going to get more of it. I don't understand. You know, when we get into those conversations, the conversation on the other side tends to be, well, you know, you're not really ever going to cure the person of his criminality by taking punitive measures. But I always thought that the emphasis was on the greatest good for the greatest number, and that what you will be doing is limiting the number of people who are exposed to that kind of danger.
Well, absolutely. And I still believe it because it's true. We know it's true again and again, civilization after civilization. So, Alan, though, you are, you know, I only observe this, know enough politicians. You've actually held high office, city controller, and been inside this, ran against Kenny. What's the fear, particularly with Krasner, these candidates for mayor and others? Are they believing that Philadelphia has changed that much and Philadelphia, even though people complain about it, is willing to put up with all this because this magic spell of Krasner, like the great savior, is going to fight anybody who gets in the way of letting criminals out? What's the fear of politicians, do you think?
Oh, that Krasner is actually popular in the city. I mean, they're afraid of being attacked by him. I mean, there are candidates who are extremely opposed to his philosophy, but are very reluctant to get into a tussle with him because he's a strong vote getter and there's a strong constituency in the city, mostly in among the white liberal areas that, in the black areas, people are conflicted because there is a strong belief in the redemption of people and so on. But also there's a very, visceral fear of violent crime, where as many of the more white liberal areas are insulated from that. So it becomes an abstraction.
Alan, I think that's exactly my take on this, that maybe the first time around with Krasner, more black areas were on board. It's dissipated. And these white liberal areas, I usually mock and center in because they're insulated. They're not getting hit quite like this. Say, a Chestnut Hill, Rittenhouse Square, there'll be World War III if you started to have this in those areas, they're connected and they'd scream about it. But the white working class neighborhoods are predominantly of Northeast Philadelphia. It's one of the saddest things imaginable what's happened.
You know, it's unfortunately, people have to personally experience things to have an epiphany. And I suspect that as it becomes more politically, it will become more possible to take a stronger stand on crime when more people experience the effects. Although people's first impulse in those cases is to run away, to move out of the city or go someplace else. People's first impulse is not to organize and be political and to affect change. They're like, I just want to get me and my family out of this situation. So, but I have no doubt that there will be a change in the attitude of the city's voters and the city's leaders. I just can't tell you exactly when.
Well, Alan, thank you. Thanks for coming on. And again, please come back once they catch this guy. And we can talk about this again. Sorry that it happened to you, particularly when you have a gun pointed at you and get on the ground, the guy hovering over you. Wow.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for having me on.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.